Isaiah chapter 61. We read part of this a couple of weeks ago, but that's good. We're going to read the last couple of verses of 61 and move through to 62 as soon as I can find it. Isaiah 61, I'm reading from verse 10. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord, my God, for he has dressed me with a clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I'm like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I'll not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded to your by your glory, and you'll be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hands of God. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God, for the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. And then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. I was taken when I read that passage and the bit before that in Isaiah 61. You know, Isaiah is just full of joy, excitement, a bit like Alex on a happy day. He's sort of saying, can't keep silent, gotta get this message out. And he's sort of, you can see him sort of almost bouncing with joy. And that just made me think, you know, as Christians, we should be full of joy. It doesn't mean we always have to be, you know, big, happy, smiley faces, because there are times because we live in a sinful world and a world full of pain, there are times when, you know, happiness just isn't appropriate, but joy still bubbles below the surface as a strength that keeps us going despite opposition. Then we read early in Psalm 148, the invocation, the call for every created thing to praise God. So that made me think, you know, we need to just be joyful, really, and consider reasons why we should be joyful, especially at Christmas. And the first reason, of course, is Jesus. Christmas is all about the coming into the world of Jesus, and Jesus is all about setting us free from our sins and bringing in a new kingdom, a new order, a new way that people relate to God and to each other. And the reason why we need to be joyful is that we need to remember where we came from. You know, without Jesus, there's no salvation. Without Jesus, we're lost in our sins. Without Jesus, we just carry on in a world of destructive selfishness, and that's not working too well for everybody, really, is it? The solutions that the world offers are different religions, which all basically come down to, if you do enough good things, then you might turn an angry God into a happy God. Islam is the most prominent example of that, I guess. You know, if you pray five times a day, and if you make a journey to Mecca, it's Mecca, isn't it? And if you do good deeds, and there's I think five things, then you might get to heaven. Your good deeds might outweigh your bad deeds in Allah's sight. Well, with God, it's different, because he has sent Jesus into the world, and we don't have to worry so much about making God happy, because he's already shown us that he loves us. And so we don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff just to make God happy so that we might get to heaven, because in Jesus the guarantee is there that everyone who follows him will receive eternal life. I think that's pretty good. There's no condemnation there, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus also brings us a knowledge, brings the other way too. This is pretty cool, I think. Before Jesus, before God came into the world in the person of Jesus, God only had a theoretical knowledge of what it was like to be a person. But when he experienced what it was like to be a person, I think it gave God a new, God the Father, a new experience, a new knowledge of what it's like to be a person. You can't say God just stands far off and he, you know, what gives him the right to judge us? Because he's been here, he's been there, he's done that. He's got the T-shirt, he's been a human, and he knows what it's like. So for all sorts of reasons, Jesus is a good source of joy, a good reason for us to be rejoicing at this time of the year especially. Secondly, the second reason to rejoice is because God is our Father. He's not a distant God. One of the things that the angel said to Mary was, "You shall call this child Emmanuel." God is with us. God is with us. And I think that's pretty awesome. God is here. It's one of the most important messages of Christmas. And then goes right through to Pentecost. God is right here, here and now amongst us. He's not at a distance. He's not far off. The Greeks had this idea that the ideal God was one that couldn't suffer. He didn't have emotions or passions or anything like that. But the God of the Bible is not the God like that. He's not at a distance, just watching things go back in a very unattached, uninvolved sort of way. God's been here. He's in here. He's amongst us. He's with us. And he loves us passionately. The second thing about this rejoicing in God the Father is that Jesus brought a new way of addressing God. Jesus always referred to God as Abba, Father, which is sort of somewhere between Daddy and Father when you're addressing your own dad. Sort of like informal but still respectful. And Jesus showed us that we're to have that close relationship with God, that God actually wants that relationship with us as a good father might have with a son or a daughter. The name Abba suggests a close, intimate relationship with God, and that's the sort of relationship that God wants with us. It's a sign of the infinite love that a gracious God has for us. And I mentioned during communion that Bible verse, John 3:16, God loved the world so much, or God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. God's overwhelming, dominant attitude towards us is love. Not anger, not hatred. He's angry at sin and all that stuff, and he hates the bad things we do, but God loves us, and he won't hold anything back from those who follow him. And third reason for Christmas joy is the Holy Spirit. Surprise, surprise. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, it says in Acts chapter 2. And so now that we know not just that God is with us, we don't just have like an external relationship with God, but we can have the Holy Spirit in us. We can have God in us. And when we follow Jesus, when we have given our lives to serving him, the Holy Spirit is within us. And so we have that promise that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, he's always with us. We can run from him, but we can't ever escape him. That's the awesome, awesome, awesome message of Christmas and Pentecost, that God is with us and, you know, he will never let us go. The reality, the Holy Spirit is the reality of the power and the presence of God, and it's a sign of the never-ending love that God has given us. So three reasons for Christmas joy: Jesus, the Father, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit. And those in themselves are enough to fill us with joy, to give us that copingness, that ability to overcome every adversity and to Yeah, go through life knowing that God loves us, God cares about us, and God will never leave us. Father, I just thank you for the joy of Christmas. I thank you, Lord, that it's something that doesn't just last for one day. There's been a lot of stories in the media about football matches played in the middle of World War One, and people from opposite sides ceasing fire and shaking hands and exchanging gifts on the battlefield. But Lord, that was one day. But when you're really there, when you're really with us, when we're really walking with you, we can know that joy every day, Lord. I thank you for Jesus coming into the world, for God taking on flesh, taking on the form of a human being, and showing us that, well, you're not so distant. You're not so unreachable. But that through Jesus, all of us can come into your presence. And Lord, just pray this morning that anyone that hasn't started that walk will start today to just ask you to take control of their lives and to walk in your presence each and every day. And for those of us that have been walking with you for a while, Lord, give us the strength to keep on walking with you. Encourage us, Lord, and fill us with that joy that that sustains us. So, Lord, we just commit our lives to you. We commit the days and the weeks ahead. And, Lord, may the joy of Christmas be with each of us today, tomorrow, right through till December next year. Amen.